You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your deadly duo is back. Myself, Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn on the line. He's calling in the co-host, and we're going to be talking about the Pistons today. Now, the Timberwolves, we're recording this a little bit ahead of time. I'm actually going to be on a cruise at the time of the actual game, so recording this a little bit ahead of time. So we don't know what's happened in games like the Suns game. We don't know what's going on over the weekend. We're not going in with that information, so I figured, Trey, the best way to start out is, how do the Timberwolves play against guys with really, really good front courts? And Blake Griffin has been playing out of his mind. Andre Drummond has been putting together a really solid season. How do they combat teams with really solid front courts? So I thought that's where we should start today.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think all of our listeners are going to miss your introductions next week. So I'll try my best. But as for this front court, Blake Griffin's playing amazing right now at an MVP level. And it's almost not even talked about right now around the league. I think it's mostly because he plays for Detroit now, not L.A. So he doesn't have the same basketball fandom that he did in California.
Yeah.
But he's averaging like 37-5, I think. So he has crazy numbers right now.
Yeah, I mean, he is kind of on the under the radar team, right? I mean, the Pistons are in the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. I'm pulling up the record right now. They're 13-13. They're in the seventh spot in the Eastern Conference, and they actually have there's a case to be made that they could be kind of one of the sneakier playoff teams, because if you're looking at just the entirety of the Eastern Conference here as far as playoff picture, I think they have the best front court. I mean, probably the 76. I think Milwaukee can stretch them out try and get them out of position. But I think just as far as pure front courts, I think the 76ers with Embiid is really the one that can give them a run for their money. As far as the rest of the teams, I think they have the most stout front court. And maybe that change of pace, that change of where they take the fight on the basketball court, I think could give some teams some trouble. I think they're a very under-the-radar team, and I think they could pose some problems for the Timberwolves just because with that big front court, the Timberwolves really only run one center deep, right? I mean, unless you want to really get into counting Gorgie and what he does for this team, really it's Towns at the center position. And Blake Griffin, DeAndre Drummond, they can both kind of play that. They both play that 4-5 spot. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how the Timberwolves match up. You're going to need to ask a lot, I think, of Dario Saric and Taj Gibson in this game.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, Taj is going to have his hands full with Blake Griffin. Hopefully Towns can try to stop Andre Drummond's, his insane ability to get offensive boards. I mean, that guy is the best rebounder in the NBA right now. And kind of alluding to what you just said, they probably have the best front court in the Eastern Conference for sure, undoubtedly. But if they don't make the playoffs, it's probably telling for what the future of the NBA is going to look like. I mean, if they have that great of a front court and they're only the seventh seed in the East right now, that's not looking too good for future front courts around the NBA. But even recent history, the past six games, they've lost six games in a row, I believe, and they were on a five-game winning streak. So they're kind of off right now, so it's a good time to catch them off. They play the Celtics and the Bucks before us, so they're going to have a hard eight games in a row. So they could go into the Timberwolves game looking like 0-8 out of their eight past games.
And for this game, kind of going to the film too, I like what you say, catching them off on a bad streak of games here. Maybe they're going to come in a little weathered. I was thinking about, what's kind of the comparison? Because these kind of front courts are pretty rare in the NBA right now, when you can find two guys who play that 4-5 spot so well. And for a guy like Blake Griffin, he's about as versatile as Karl Anthony Towns, and he can still hold down the 5 pretty well. And then you have DeAndre Drummond, who's a real classic center at the 5. And what came to mind for me, I don't think they're as good, but I think the best comparison was when the Timberwolves were playing the New Orleans Pelicans last year when they had Boogie healthy and when you had Anthony Davis. I think it's probably the best comparison as far as just prepping for this game for the Timberwolves and kind of what you how you hope they play and how you can kind of prepare for this team. That's probably the closest comparison, no?
No, I definitely agree. I was going to say currently it's probably the Denver Nuggets with Jokic and Millsap, but that's a much better comparison. The Cousins-Davis duo last year was insane, and while it didn't look aesthetically pleasing at times, their numbers they put up were crazy sometimes, and they obviously got some wins last year and made the playoffs and did extremely well and were the third seed at one point. So they played a fantastic season last year. So if that's the kind of ceiling that we're looking at with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, we're going to be in for some trouble. And the Detroit Pistons have seen success this year from those two big men when they both have huge games. It's just really the inconsistency at off the bench for Detroit, which has kept them down over the past few games, as well as their shaky backcourt. I know I give Jeff Teague a lot of crap, but Reggie Jackson, man, I would not want to have him on my team.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I think the advantage here for the Timberwolves, too, because they actually played the Pelicans really well last year, I think the advantage here for the Timberwolves is you can kind of just rely on Towns to be the sole really big guy out there. And if you can space the floor, kind of go small ball around him, really put one of those guys out of position and maybe force one of those guys off the floor. Specifically, I think Andre Drummond is maybe the guy you probably want to you pull off the field if you're or off the excuse me off the court if you're Detroit, because at least on offense, Blake Griffin, he might not be as good defensively on the boards as Andre Drummond, but offensively he's going to be so much more versatile. Whereas Andre Drummond, I think if he's out there, if he's not on Towns, you're probably putting him really out of position if the Timberwolves do go small around Towns. And so I think that's right away, if you're just looking at kind of prior film against for teams that played this big against the Timberwolves, that's probably the go-to move, is trying to force one of these guys off the court with your lineups.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, Drummond does get in foul trouble at times. And there are a couple weaknesses on his end. I mean, if you can push him out of the restricted zone, you'll be set. The only trouble is that I've seen teams trying to do that is they allow Blake Griffin to get more open near the perimeter, and he's just doing insane. He's doing insane things this year from the 3-point line. I mean, the past three games, he's shooting close to 50%, shooting 8 threes a game. So he definitely has some arc there. And I expect them to do something very similar, like we hope to do with Towns, is spread some guys out. Drummond can do that too. He's a really big guy, and he can be the lone big guy, and Blake Griffin can play that stretch four. But one thing that I noticed from the Kings game, which we can't do in the Detroit game, is not as have these uncontested three-pointers. I mean, Nemanja Bjelica ran to the three-point line a few times, and it took Dario Saric a few seconds to get over to him, and he's knocking down threes. You definitely cannot give Blake Griffin any room. And you kind of have to be on top of him no matter what. And whoever has the hot defensive hand, I guess, whether it's Taj Gibson or Dario Saric, Tom Thibodeau's got to decide who he wants to keep on him.
Yeah, I want to get to Towns versus Blake in a second here, but you brought up something I want to address as well, which is the bench for this team. I think that's an area where the Timberwolves can kind of take off here. If you're putting guys like Tyus Jones, Dario Saric, and then I like that lineup when they run those two guys and throw Wiggins out there, and they have and Okogie as well. Those four guys together, I think if you run them, maybe even try them with Towns, but if you run that second lineup with the one starter and Wiggins out there, I think that's going to crush anything Detroit has off the bench.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And also, I think the backup point guard right now for Detroit is Jose Calderon. So I'm just hoping that Tyus Jones can outplay Jose Calderon. And if he can't, then we're going to have some real issues. So I definitely agree that guys like Tyus Jones or Josh Okogie can have some solid games against this bench in Detroit. It's really going to be up to Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, a lot like Pelicans last year, to really take over this game, because they don't have enough depth to really go against a team like Minnesota or any other great Western team that's fighting for a playoff spot.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, then we're going to get into some narratives heading to this game. First, some sponsors. So in this game, shooting from the hip here, Trey and I talking about narratives in this Pistons game. What is a narrative that sticks out to you? Is it mostly the matchup between Towns and Blake Griffin, or is there something underlying here that you want to pull on?
Well, I guess the number one thing I would try to do would be to silence Blake Griffin as much as possible. If you can ice Blake Griffin, I don't trust Andre Drummond enough to take over this game by himself. He's shown this season that he can be emotional at times, and he can lose the game if you get in his head. And while Karl Anthony Towns isn't the right guy to usually do that, he has been known this year to pick it up on the defensive end when guys like Roko are stepping up and they change the momentum of the game. Karl Anthony Towns has seemed to really step up. So if you can try to get in guys like Andre Drummond's head, and get him out of this game. And then you can try to ice Blake Griffin as much as possible. And you kind of have to force Andre Drummond to try his best to win the game for the Pistons. The Minnesota Timberwolves come out with a win no matter what. Because I'm looking up and down this roster, I don't really see any other player on the Pistons that can take any of the other Wolves players. So I'm not really too worried about it. The only other guy I would watch out for who once in a blue moon does do really well, who I've already criticized on this pod, funny enough, is Reggie Jackson. Just watch out for him. Sometimes he can be a spark plug when they need him to be. So
I think I'm going to go there with it. I think kind of the underlying narrative is neutralizing the backcourt for the Pistons, really taking him out of this game. I mean, you look at Reggie Jackson's stats. He's not shooting particularly exceptionally. 39% from the field, 33% from the three-point range. He's only putting up 4.3 assists per game and 0.8 steals per game. I think if you can try and do some things in the backcourt trapping him, especially when Derrick Rose and Tyus Jones are out there, Tyus Jones so good around the basketball, creating turnovers for the Timberwolves and turning those into assists on the other side. If you can trap him a little bit and maybe get him early on in this game in the first half to throw away the ball, get some silly turnovers, I think that could be a really big key, just because then you could kind of force the ball almost into Blake Griffin's hands. He's going to create most of the offense. The offense is going to run through him more, and that'll be easier then to try and really focus in your double teams and stuff on him if you're keeping the ball in one isolated spot.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, again, I know we've already brought it before. If we're going to focus on being a two-star team, like a Griffin Drummond team, and we can kind of ice that backcourt up, they're going to be playing, they've lost six games in a row. They're most likely going to lose to the Celtics and Bucks, and they're coming at Minnesota in that ninth game, and they could go into Minnesota being 0-8. So there's potential for this whole team to just be extremely exhausted.
Another narrative, too, is just I think you're going to get to a point in this season where Jeff Teague is going to really have to start proving it against some bad point guards that he's better than some of this competition, just because I know I've defended him, and I still think that it is probably better just to keep him than to try and trade and end up getting stuck with a worse point guard because you traded in desperation and lose Tyus Jones or a valuable piece on this team. But I'm just saying this team clearly wants to win now, and they showed that because of the trade that they made with Jimmy Butler. They weren't going for future picks. They weren't biting on the Houston trade package. They wanted players now that are going to make a difference, so they want to win now. And if there's going to be some certain games, I think this one in particular, where Teague needs to play better than Reggie Jackson. He needs to be better than specific point guards. Otherwise, this team is going to get antsy and maybe trade him. Is that kind of a narrative that you're sensing, or am I kind of going off the reservation here?
No, I completely agree with you. I think that, well, if you just look at the numbers, if you get really deep into the advanced analytics, the two worst players in the Timberwolves in the restricted zone right now are just the easy twos around the rim are Jeff Teague and Tyus Jones. They really struggle getting the easy buckets. They both shoot, I think it's under 33% around there. So that's really poor for a point guard. And it's not just a random fact that Jeff Teague and Tyus Jones are very good at facilitating and don't produce many points. That's just their all-around game is they produce a lot of assists, they don't produce many points. And it's not that I want to see Jeff Teague go. It's that depending on what package can be sent around for him, there are possible suitors for him right now. I don't know if you saw this, but somebody just announced the rumor that Chicago is looking to trade Jabari Parker. And like, it's just a guy like Jabari Parker who could potentially be sent to Minnesota for a Jeff Teague. Not that we need Jabari Parker, but when Jeff Teague's, when his ceiling's at his highest, which he just broke his assist record 3-4 games ago, it's probably a good idea to move him if he's not helping and contributing to the team like we need him to.
And then we get into one of those situations again where you're kind of banking everything on Derrick Rose, who's had multiple knee surgeries, and Tyus Jones, who just has been in this weird underperforming zone this season. You're just mentioning some of his stats. And another one that I'm going to bring up is his shooting percentage from basically every mark on the court is worse this year than it ever has been before. And so, yeah, it really is a gamble. And it's so the margin of error in that backcourt for the Timberwolves is so slim, and it's only going to take one injury to really knock everything into chaos back there. And so that's why I think Timberwolves fans should be hesitant when they're asking for Teague trades. That said, again, this team is in win now mode, and if a good enough package comes along, I think that they might pull the trigger again.
Yeah, if I'm Tom Thibodeau, I'm definitely nervous, not only just because of my job, but if I don't make the playoffs, fans are going to get antsy. You know, there was a 14-year drought for the playoffs. So making the playoffs last year definitely changed the culture, whether Jimmy Butler's on the team or not. And just seeing the way the attendance rose from Robert Covington, Dario Saric winning a few games in a Minnesota jersey, and the way the environment chose around the team, the culture changed a little bit. That was a really positive sign. And if Minnesota can't pull out a playoff season this year, people are going to be very disappointed. And Tom Thibodeau, you know, he might lose his job. So I wouldn't be surprised if he starts looking at offers for a guy like Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones, or like Gorgui Dieng, like we talked about a few pods ago. So it's definitely a possibility. Not that I want to see it happen. Not that I want to see the team get a little dismantled even more. But it's definitely up for discussion.
Yeah. And so all that to say, I think Teague really has to show out against guys like Reggie Jackson, because while Reggie Jackson, he has his moments defensively, he's not anything like an absolutely stellar, stout defensive player. So I think this is one of those games where he's just gotta kind of prove why he needs to be kept around for the Timberwolves organization, because I feel like they're going to be a little jumpy here as we approach the trade deadline. We're going to get to a quick break for sponsors and then some predictions. We've been talking about the Pistons, Trey and I have, and now we're going to get into some predictions. We already mentioned we're recording this a little before a couple of games because of my crazy schedule next week. But so I'm prefacing that because maybe the Pistons somehow pull off some wins and now these picks look crazy. But you know what? We're okay with that. We're okay with going out on a limb, and I'm okay with saying that the Timberwolves should win this game by 10 points.
I'm going to kind of go off the win, but I'm going to say it's a lot closer than that. I'm going to say it's down to the wire. You know, my hope is that Reggie Jackson dribbles the clock out and shoots a three to lose, like normal Reggie Jackson does for the Pistons, and that Minnesota comes away with the win. I just think it's going to go to the wire because Blake Griffin's just been so hot right now, and he's a guy that kind of still loves to be in the atmosphere of fans. They want to see him up on the screen. So he's trying to make his fans happy. He's trying to maybe be in the MVP conversation. I can't see him going down easy. I don't think we have the right matchup to go against him defensively with Taj and Dario respectively. So I expect Blake Griffin to have a huge game and Karl-Anthony Towns to try to hold the fort down with Drummond. So I expect to be a little closer down to the wire, but I expect the Minnesota Timberwolves to come out with the win.
I think the big difference for me here is that the Timberwolves at home are averaging 111.9, so basically 112 points per game compared to 108 points. They're shooting 45% per game at home and 37% from the three-point line, and they're hitting 11.1 threes at home. All better numbers than on the road, obviously, with their home versus away record, but I just think that they're better at spacing the floor. For some reason, this team comes out of their comfort zone and spaces the floor so much better at home, and they just can't seem to find that away. And so that's going to be the big key for them here, is being at home, a place where they space the floor better, where they shoot the three better, where they're giving Towns more room at home against a team with a deeper front court there with Griffin and Drummond. And I think those are going to be the keys for the Timberwolves, is that because they're at home, there's just going to be this different kind of spacing than if they were playing the Pistons in Detroit. And I think that makes a world of difference here for the Timberwolves.
I definitely agree. It's been electric in Minnesota the past few games, especially since the Jimmy Butler trade. So I think they just got to get the crowd going, you know, and once they do, they should be good to go. And again, we're taping this ahead of schedule, so they're still going to play the Suns on Saturday and the Kings on Monday. And hopefully that revenge game against the Kings will be our first home game of the two home games, because the next one will be Detroit. Hopefully that game against the Kings, they can pull out a win and then go into Wednesday with the win against Detroit and get that electric crowd going again.
Even so, I think that the formula is still pretty simple for this game. I think some games you can get kind of complicated, and some games are obviously tougher than others. I think the formula is pretty simple. You just got to throw a lot of wing guys around Towns, really make them guard every aspect of the floor, and let Towns run with a man-to-man defensive look, because those are the kind of things that he can win at. And I don't care who's defending him. He's good enough where he can go toe-to-toe with any guy one-on-one. And as long as they're just giving him that look, then I think they're going to be okay. And the difference, again, between the Timberwolves home versus away is so much space. It really is a lot of space is the difference between the Timberwolves and where they're playing. And I think that makes a world of difference against a team like the Pistons.
Agreed. I think that ultimately, I think this is going to be a solid win for Minnesota. Don't change up too much. Again, I think that Phoenix game has to be the game they change up the roster and lineups. I wouldn't go too crazy into that if I'm Tom Thibodeau, as I know he likes to keep, to normalize the roster. So I would just keep it going, keep it simple. Don't change up the game plan. It should be a solid W.
Don't overthink it, Minnesota. Don't overthink it. All right, that's it for us here, getting you ready for the Pistons game. He's Trey Flynn. I'm Colt Molesky, and thank you for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.